Now, this man thought he would get off the hook, of course, by releasing a prisoner. And this man just couldn't believe that anyone would ask for Barabbas to be delivered and for Jesus to be crucified. And he really thought he had a solution to the dilemma that he found himself in. I'm reading now at verse 7, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection." Now here is a man guilty of murder, guilty of leading an insurrection, and he was the chief prisoner at that time, and he was to be crucified along with the others. I think the Lord Jesus actually was crucified on Barabbas's cross. Now Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Now this is actually a very remarkable and an unheard of thing that's taking place. The thing was evident, I think, to Pilate that the charges brought against Jesus were false. And here he had on his hands this prisoner that was an outstanding criminal. And he makes the comparison between Jesus and Barabbas. And he thought, well, for certain, these men wouldn't dare ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be crucified. But he just didn't know, even religion, what depths it can sink. And so he was so shocked that when they did ask for Barabbas to be released, of all things, he's the judge, and he's so startled that he asks this question here in desperation, "What shall I do with Jesus?" It's called the Christ, and the mob was instructed to demand that Jesus be crucified, and this, my friend, is mob rule with a vengeance. Listen to this. "And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him." And no mob is prepared to reason or to use its head or to use good judgment. All they could do is just cry out, crucify him. Now, as we move down into this section, notice, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." Now, Pilate obviously was a weak, vacillating politician. And here he yields to the cry of the mob, and he delivered the Lord Jesus to be crucified. Roman justice certainly went awry here. An innocent man is to die. But wait just a moment. He's to take my place, and I'm not innocent. And he's to take your place also. Now we're told here that the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. Now when any criminal was to be crucified, he was turned over to these soldiers, and they were a brutal lot to do with as they pleased. And they, of course, humiliated prisoners. They persecuted them. They tortured them. They made them a plaything for sadistic appetites. And that is the thing they do with the Lord Jesus. I've suggested before in the Gospel of Matthew, they played a game, a Roman game called Hot Hand. They'd all stick their fists up in the face of Jesus. Then they'd blindfold him, and then they would all hit him but one. And believe me, they hit him. They beat his face into a pulp. I don't think he looked like a man. And of course, when they take the blindfold off, he had to pick out the fist that didn't hit him. And he never could pick out the right one. No prisoner ever picked out the right one. Even if he did, it wouldn't be the right one, because they're going to play the game again. And I think they actually beat the Lord Jesus' face into a pulp and probably beat him into practical unconsciousness. And that's the reason we're told here that they had to get this man, Simon the Cyrenian, to carry his cross. Our Lord was 33 years old. I'm confident he was muscular. He'd walked up and down that country, and he'd been a carpenter, and he'd been able to drive the money changers out, and he was muscular. But they had beat him, friends. They had beat him into a pulp. Now, will you notice in verse 24, and when they had crucified him, and actually it could be better translated here, and after they crucified him. Because the crucifixion, no gospel writer records the details of it. They just give us incidents around the crucifixion. It was so horrible that the Spirit of God, as it were, drew the veil and said, there's nothing here to satisfy a sadistic curiosity. There's nothing here an idle mind is to occupy itself with. And it's too horrible. And we're told that after they crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. After they got him on the cross, that was over with. He was hanging there. And we're told it was the third hour when they crucified him, and they put the superscription above him. I get to John. I'll call attention to that. You have to put all the gospel writers together to get the full superscription. And this is another evidence of the fact that no gospel writer's intending to give you the whole story.